Purusha, you are the person for whose pleasure all sacrifices are offered. Sarva Bhavena, in all respects, Pujita, having worshipped. Translation purport by Srila Prabhupada. Sukracharya said, "My Lord, you are the enjoyer and lawgiver in all performance of sacrifice, and you are the Jagya Purusha, the person to whom all sacrifices are offered. If one is fully satisfied you, where is the chance of discrepancy or faults in his performance of sacrifice?" Report. In the Bhagavad Gita 5:29, the Lord says, "Bhoktaram Jagatapasam Sarvaloka Maheshwaram." The Lord, the Supreme Proprietor, is the actual person to be satisfied by the performance of jagyas. The Vishnu Purana 3:89 says, "Varnashrama Charavata Purushena Pura Puman Vishnu Arajyate Panta Nanya Tatoshikaranam." All the Vedic ritualistic sacrifices are performed for the purpose of satisfying Lord Vishnu, the Jagya Purusha. The divisions of society, Brahmin, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, Brahmacharya, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, and Sannyas, are all meant to satisfy the Supreme Lord, Vishnu. To act according to this principle of the Varnashram institution is called Varnashramacharana. In Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.13, Sutta Goswami says, "Atak pumbir vijishreshta varnashrama vipagasha svanushtishta shyadharmasya samsidhir haritoshana." O best among the twice born, it is therefore concluded that the highest perfection one can achieve by discharging his prescribed duties according to caste divisions and orders of life is to please the personality of Godhead. Everything is meant to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, since Bali Maharaj had satisfied the Lord, he had no faults, and Sukracharya admitted that cursing him was not good. Om Gyanatim Ranisha Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshuni Tamina Tasma Shingare Noha Panchakopa Trubhischa Kripa Sindhi Bevacha Patitano Pavne Vyavashuni Noha. So Sukracharya is now speaking. In the previous verse, Krishna Narayan addressed him and asked him, what was the fault with Bali Maharaj? What was the fault in his performance of sacrifice? And here Sukracharya is admitting that there was no fault with Bali Maharaj. Of course, we know previously he had advised Bali Maharaj not to give in, not to honor the request of Vamanadeva, of Lord Vishnu. But here he is seen, after all, everything has taken place, and you know, so many prayers have been offered, and you know, so much has transpired, that now Sukracharya seems to be seeing the light a little bit. He's understanding the real position. And he's seeing, yes, I was wrong in cursing Bali Maharaj. I was wrong in advising him that way. Actually, there was no fault in Bali Maharaj. He acted completely properly because he's now recognizing that sacrifice to Narayan, to Vishnu, is the highest principle. And this is exactly what Bali Maharaj had done. He had offered everything on to Vamanadeva, to Lord Vishnu, and therefore this was indeed proper. And this verse is describing Sukracharya that actually Krishna or Vishnu is the true enjoyer of all sacrifices. Everything that is done, all sacrifices, all religious principles, all spiritual practices are meant for one purpose, and that is for the pleasure of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this, of course, verse is quoted by Srila Prabhupada from Bhagavad Gita 5:29, "Bhoktaram Jagatapasam Sarvaloka Maheshwaram Suhridam Sarvabhutanam Gyatvamam Shantim Richtati." A person in full consciousness of me, knowing me to be the ultimate beneficiary of all sacrifices and austerities, the Supreme Lord of all planets and demigods, and the benefactor and well-wisher of all living entities, attains peace from the pangs of material miseries. Of course, Srila Prabhupada calls this the peace formula. So, describing that world peace can be achieved, and individual peace, peace in the hearts of every one of us, can come about if we simply understand these three principles. So, the Bhagavad Gita tells us that we need to understand, both from Jagatapasam, that Krishna is the enjoyer of all sacrifice. Everything is meant for his pleasure. That's the basic principle of devotional service. Sarvaloka Maheshwaram, Krishna is the controller, the supreme controller of all the worlds. Nobody is superior to him, no one is equal to him, that he has complete control of all planetary systems and the entire universe. In Sufridim Sarvabhutanam, that he is the well-wisher, the friend of all living entities. So these three things are there, and if we understand those, then Gatvamam Shantim Rishati, then we will obtain peace. So this is the message that is throughout the scriptures, throughout the Bhagavad Gita and the Bhagavatam, that our real self-interest will be achieved, that everything that is desirable will come about simply by our sacrifice to Krishna, simply by our devotional service to him and understanding his position. So Sukhacharya is now understanding this, and Srila Prabhupada is elaborating on this principle in the purport. Now in this purport, Srila Prabhupada then goes on to explain or talk a little bit about Varnashram and the connection between the principle of establishment of Varnashram Dharma and this principle of sacrifice to Vishnu. So first, this verse from the Vishnu Purana is quoted. This is actually also in the Madhya Lila, chapter 8, the teachings of Ramananda Roy. So this verse is the translation given in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, is worshipped by the proper execution of prescribed duties in the system of Varna and Ashram. There is no other way to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One must be situated in the institution of the four Varnas and Ashrams. That sounds pretty authoritative, doesn't it? You know, this is the principle of religion, that we simply follow Varnashram Dharma. Ramananda Roy said this to Lord Chaitanya, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu answered, wrong. he actually rejected this. This was the first statement that Ramananda Roy made to Lord Chaitanya when Lord Chaitanya asked him to explain, you know, true religious principles. And so, of course, we all know the progression that Ramananda Roy started from the beginning, and he finally ends up, of course, with pure love of God and the mood of Radharani as the highest exemplar of devotional service. So this first statement, as far as that one should execute one's duties in Varnashram Dharma, and this in itself is pleasing to Krishna, Lord Chaitanya's response was, this is external. Please go on. Please give me something better, something higher. So it's interesting that this statement is rejected on one hand by Lord Chaitanya, but it is not as though the entire process of Varnashram Dharma is rejected, because the actual translation of this verse indicates that Varnashram in itself is sufficient, you know, without specific connection to the process of devotional service. And so because Varnashram is considered to be connected with the modes of nature, it is connected with the material energy, it is a process of organizing society according to people's guna and karma, according to their modes of nature, is therefore, strictly speaking, not transcendental in itself. Now, of course, you know, there is a way that we can connect that with that which is transcendental in pure devotional service. Just to explain this point a little bit more, in Srila Prabhupada's purport to two verses later, Madhya 860, Srila Prabhupada says, as long as one is in the material world, he must follow the principles of Varnashram Dharma. But devotional service is transcendental. The system of Varnashram Dharma refers to the three modes of material nature, but transcendental devotional service is on the absolute platform. So one of the difficulties with Varnashram Dharma is, as Srila Prabhupada is saying, it is connected with the modes of the material nature, and therefore is not, strictly speaking, transcendental. There's one other point that Prabhupada makes in the purport, and I actually just heard on a lecture that Srila Prabhupada gave. Prabhupada was talking about pure devotional service, and he refers to this conversation with Ramananda Roy, and he actually refers to the fact that Lord Chaitanya had rejected Varnashram Dharma. And one of the reasons Srila Prabhupada gave him that lecture is that Lord Chaitanya said that Varnashram is too difficult to institute in Kali Yuga. In other words, it is very difficult to completely revive the entire system of religious principles, of proper activity. And Śrīla Prabhupāda goes on to explain, we don't even have Brahmins in Kali Yuga. You know, and if there's no Brahmins, there's no head, how can you have the rest of society? So there are many difficulties and impediments in establishing a true system of Varnashram Dharma in Kali Yuga, because, of course, everything is so much fallen apart, so much degraded, people are so materialistic. So to establish an entire religiously based system of society is quite a challenge. And therefore, Lord Chaitanya more concentrated on Sankirtan Yajna, on the process of congregational chanting, the chanting of the holy name as the process for this age. You know, so we can understand that Varnashram does not have value in itself if it is not aimed at the service of Lord Krishna. And of course, the most known verse with that is Srimad Bhagavatam 1:28. It says, Dharmak sanushtita pungsang vishvakshena katasuya napadayed yadi ratim shrama eva hi kevalam. The occupational activities a man performs according to his own position are only so much useless labor if they do not provoke attraction for the message of the personality of Godhead. So ultimately, Lord Chaitanya rejected all of Ramananda Roy's different suggestions as what is the highest religious principle. And he went up through several, and he talked about mixed devotional service, mixed with jnana and others. And it's only when Ramananda Roy finally talked about pure devotional service, untented by jnana and karma, nyabhilasita shunyam, only at that point did Lord Chaitanya say, yes, this is good. Now continue. So it was very important to establish that pure devotional service is the highest principle. That principle must be established first. Then, of course, other activities can be there as long as the central focus is this pure devotional service. And this is really what Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to bring, a process of pure devotional service based upon the chanting of the holy names. So, I guess an example of this might be like the regular principles. The four regular principles in themselves would not bring one to the point of pure devotional service. In fact, I have one relative who follows all the regular principles, and she's agnostic. She's not even sure that, you know, that God exists, you know, but she follows all the principles, you know, every one of them, you know, better than many devotees. You know, of course, helps being 93 years old, but, you know, the sense desires are a little less. But nevertheless, the regular principles in themselves do not bring one to the point of pure service to Krishna. However, they must be there as a foundation. Without them, we certainly will not gain pure devotional service. In fact, we will not even really remain fixed as a devotee unless we're following the principles. So they are the spiritual foundation by which we make advancement. In the same way, Varnashram Dharma is the foundation of society that must be there in order to have a Krishna conscious society. In order to have a truly spiritual society, every society must be organized in a certain way. And Srila Prabhupada has often pointed out that the system of four orders of life, four spiritual orders and four occupations, is not unnatural. It's there anyway. It's there in every society. Every society has an intellectual class. Every society has those who are managers, rulers, leaders. Every society has workers and workers, and also the farmers and business people. This is natural. All societies naturally tend to organize in a certain way. Now, the spiritual orders are not so much are not so common in Kali Yuga, especially in the Western world. We don't see brahmacharya, grihastha, sannyas, those type of orders. But to some degree, there's some of that. At least traditionally, even in the Western world, certain people would, you know, join the priesthood and be celibate. So there's a little bit of sense of that, you know, even in the Western world. So this is a very natural thing. But the difference is rather than this just sort of haphazardly falling into the way people conduct their material affairs, Prabhupada advocated Daivi Varnashram. Daivi Varnashram Dharma means that everything is God-centered. The purpose of Varnashram, the purpose of our social organization, our material organization, our managerial organization is for one specific purpose. And that is so the entire society can elevate in spiritual life, so that they can become God conscious. And that is the purpose of our ashram. And that is why, although in many ways we say, Lord Chaitanya says it's external, it's very difficult to institute, it isn't the highest goal, it is still a necessary foundation so that society can advance in God consciousness. So it's a natural organization is there, and of course the Brahmin class helps to institute and educate, get people to, so that people can understand their natural position. And when people are actually situated rightly, according to their propensities, according to, of course, the particular body and mind that we come into this world with, when that is engaged properly, then people are not only happy, but they can easily advance in Krishna consciousness. So we don't so much, you know, usually specify as far as devotees who come to our movement, you're a Brahmin or you're a Shudra. We don't really do that so much, because Prabhupada was really interested in creating Brahmins primarily. In other words, every devotee should be educated in scripture. Every devotee should become knowledgeable and be able to act as a spiritual guide and teacher for the rest of society. And there's another principle, of course, is that the principle of Vaishnava is considered even higher than a Brahmin. So once one comes to the position of Vaishnava, of being a devotee of Krishna, that is the highest stage, and that transcends any other designations of either Varna or Ashram. So the real point of Varna Ashram is to give the fruits of all of that activity to Krishna. And of course that's described a few verses later in the Bhagavatam 1.2.13, the verse that Srila Prabhupada quotes in his purport, Atak Pumbir Vijashreshta Varnashrama Vibhagasa Svanushtitasya Dharmasya Samsidhir Haritoshanam. O best among the twice born, it is therefore concluded that the highest perfection one can achieve by discharging his prescribed duties according to caste, divisions, and orders of life is to please the personality of Godhead. Everything is meant for satisfying the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is the real point. We need to organize society in such a way, we need to organize our own lives, we need to organize our movement in such a way that everyone is engaged fully in devotional service. That we're able to please Krishna by offering the sacrifice of all of our work, of all of our activities, and of course of our chanting of the holy name, the Sankirtan Jagya, for the satisfaction of Krishna. And in this way, society will become perfect. And this way, our own lives become perfect, if we take up this process of bhakti yoga, devotional service. So, we have this necessary foundation of organizing society in such a way that it leads to spiritual elevation, and at the same time, we understand that it's only of real value if everything is directed to the service of Krishna. Now, this Daivi Varnashram is also important because it is a way that we can, it is a method of practical engagement. Everyone needs to be engaged in devotional service. Particularly because we come into this world, we take on this particular material body, this particular mind according to our past activities, our past karma. The consciousness that we acquired in previous lifetimes carries into this lifetime, and we take on the appropriate body based upon that consciousness. Now for most of us, that particular consciousness of the particular body is not so much spiritually inclined. Most of us in the material world, we are here because we have material desires. And it's because of those material proclivities, material propensities and desires, that we have come to this world. Of course, somehow or another, we must have had a little drop of desire for devotional service because we've been given the opportunity to associate with a pure devotee and to come to this position. But it's very obvious that all of us have material desire. Therefore, those material desires need to be engaged. And our process of bhakti yoga, whether it's organized on a societal wide basis, such as Varnashram Dharma, or even within our own lives, we need to organize our lives in such a way that we engage our lives, our senses, our mind, our body, in Krishna service. That's the process of purification. This is a purport from in the Nectar of Instruction. I think it's when Prabhupada talks about the utsaha, enthusiasm. He says, the devotees find the correct means by which everything can be utilized in the service of the Lord, yukta vairagya. The execution of devotional service is not a matter of idle meditation, but practical action in the forefront of spiritual life. That is a very nicely worded way that Srila Prabhupada puts that. Not a matter of idle mental speculation or idle meditation. Practical action in the forefront of spiritual life. In other words, because we have these bodies and senses which are active, we need to do something with them. We need to do something more constructive than their natural propensity, which is simply to engage in whatever sense gratification comes along. So by engaging our senses in the service of Krishna, therefore we purify the senses and we purify our consciousness. Very nice verse, Bhakti Samrita Sindhu 1.1.12, I think it's from the Narada Pancharatna. Sarvopadi vinirmuktam tat paradena nirmalam hrishikena hrishikeshas sevanam bhakti ruchite. Bhakti or devotional service means engaging all of our senses in the service of the Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Master of all the senses. When the spirit soul renders service unto the Supreme, there are two side effects. One is freed from all material designations, and one's senses are purified simply by being employed in the service of the Lord. So this is our process. We engage the contaminated senses in the service of pure sense objects. Everything related to Krishna is completely pure on that pure platform, whether it be that we are doing deity worship, or we are hearing and chanting, associating with the holy names of the Lord, or doing any practical service, even any manual service, whatever it may be, because it is in relationship with Krishna, it is automatically purifying. And it's described in this verse that there are two effects. First, that we become free from all bodily identification. We become free from identification with our minds, with our bodies, and even with any varnashram designations. Eventually, through purifying the senses, we become completely transcendental to anything to do with this bodily situation. Of course, that's a very advanced stage. It may take some time and purification, but that is the goal. Secondly, our senses themselves are purified, and our consciousness thus becomes more and more purified as we engage in devotional service. So rather than the senses being attracted to sense objects, the change comes about that the senses become attracted to Krishna. And eventually our mind, our senses, everything, little by little, we become more and more attached. That was actually in that one verse, 1-8, the word rati is used in that verse of attraction. So in other words, unless our activities lead to attraction to rati, they're described as so much useless labor. So that's the idea. If we're not becoming more and more attracted to Krishna, more attached to Krishna, to Krishna's service, to Krishna's devotees, to Krishna's holy name, then we might think, well, maybe something's wrong. But generally, if we're doing these practices sincerely, we will experience that. We will experience more and more attraction and attachment coming about through the service. So that's a very important principle of devotional service, that we want to see that we are becoming more and more attracted, more and more attached to Krishna and everything about Krishna. And we know that the process, of course, is really quite simple and straightforward. It begins with the process of Shravanam Kirtanam, of hearing and chanting Krishna's name, of remembering, and then, of course, service. Through devotional service, we develop that attachment. And of course, the other element that's always mentioned that's needed there is sadhu sangha, the association of devotees. You know, if we associate with devotees in devotional service, then it becomes strong, it becomes fixed. Our mind becomes much more fixed on the process. So for the devotees, the activities of the Sankirtan movement, the activities of hearing and chanting are sufficient for self-realization. You know, we are happy simply being able to engage in service. We're not so concerned about that service might be classified as a Brahmin or a Kshatriya or Vaishya or Shudra. And we're not even ultimately so concerned about our ashram, our situation in life. Of course, we're all concerned about it. I shouldn't say we're not. You know, it's a natural thing. But on the other hand, we understand that there is no particular impediment by being involved in any particular occupation or in any particular ashram. One can make, because the principle of Vaishnavism is transcendental to Varnashram, from any situation in life, we can make equal spiritual advancement. It's really about our particular consciousness and our desire and our full engagement in Krishna consciousness. I was just reading a long letter by Srila Prabhupada. I forget who it was to, but it's one of the most extensive letters I've seen where Srila Prabhupada talks about Grihastha life, the Grihastha ashram. And this is, of course, one of the early devotees that he had, well, his mind was agitated, so he gets married, and then he's agitated by being married, and so he wants to leave his wife, right? No, naturally. So Prabhupada was pointing out, the problem is not being married or not married, the problem is your mind. The problem is that you're not satisfied. He says, so you weren't satisfied and you got married, now you don't give up your duty. He says, now you think you can give up your duty and you'll become happy and you'll make spiritual advance. He says, no. You're going to become happy by performing your duty, by staying with your situation. And he said, there's no impediment whatsoever. You know, you simply perform devotional service and you carry, at the same time, you carry out your prescribed duties and you will be happy. So when you talk about Varnashram or you talk about occupational duties, no, we don't give them up artificially. We stay within the position. We accept the service that Krishna and our spiritual master has given us. At the same time, we realize that our real aim is to become free from all material designations, to become simply servants of Krishna, dasana, dasana, das, and engage fully in the process of hearing and chanting in service to Radhishyam Sundar. So, glory to Srila Prabhupada. Are there any further comments or questions? I'm learning to look at the women first because I think we get over here and then we ignore the other side of the room. So we'll start with Mother Parijata. Oh, well, thank you. If you confirm it must be true.
Yeah, everything. So Srila Prabhupada speaks on the morning walk concerning Varnashram Dharma. He says, ISKCON is not going to be a social reformer. Our main business is to make everyone Krishna conscious. If possible, we can take up all systems of varnas. If the society chants Hare Krishna seriously, then it's all right. This is the power of Sankirtan. If one is absorbed in Krishna consciousness, all benefit is there. So long we are on the bodily concept of life, we require this Varnashram Dharma, otherwise there is no necessity. And then he mentions what you said, the conversation with Ramananda Roy and Lord Chaitanya, that Lord Chaitanya says it is not very important, it is external. Varnashram Dharma is a good help, but it is not important for Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, how could I start this movement in the Western countries? There is no Varnashram Dharma, but this did not hamper my movement. People are surprised how you have become such great devotees. It was not based on the Varnashram Dharma because the whole movement is spiritual. It starts from the spiritual platform, Aham Brahmasmi, Swarupahaya Nicha Krishna Das. And then he quotes the verse, Samasrita ye bada palava pavam mahatpadam punya yasho murari. And he says, now here's a gap. You can go by the bridge or you can jump over. So to become Krishna conscious means you jump over and to come to the spiritual platform immediately. And this Varnashram Dharma are different steps only. But if you become Krishna conscious seriously, then you take a lift on the staircase.
Thank you. Very, very nice. You just happen to have that with you? Yeah. Very nice, thank you. Vivian.
Years ago, my brother came to the temple. My older brother came to take prasadam, and him and his friend were into some kind of yoga. One of them was a Buddhist, supposedly, both Mayavadis mostly. So his friend's comment was after the program, he said, "You guys are so sensual. You know, there's flowers, incense, food, you know, everybody's, you know, enjoying all these things. Isn't this not spiritual?" That was, you know, his thing. And we're so lucky because all you got to do is smell. I mean, just like, you know, you smell the incense and it's taken prasadam and you get purified. And Prabhupada, I was listening to a lecture and he was saying, well, what other yoga can you be a gardener and become a master yogi, or become a cook and become a pure yogi? Because these activities, like you were saying, Vaishnava activities, isn't dependent on any of these things. The jiva can always perform devotional service. And that's why the devotees go out and try to engage them, because every jiva, you never give up on the jiva. You just never know what they're going to do. They're marginal and they can do anything. They can be good or they can be just the opposite. Just like you're saying, how did we all get into this? It's a miracle. Prabhupada came along and just grabbed us, you know. A lot of us couldn't even chant mantras or, you know, even be human. I mean, it's been a long time for him, still trying to just be, you know, to be human, to actually follow human religious dharma. It's not easy in this age. But and it couldn't get any easier than this. Lord Chaitanya says, dance, chant, eat. You can do that, you know.
Oh, thank you. The one I always like when Srila Prabhupada said, this is simply a process of recreation, right? Chanting, dancing, feasting. Yeah, Chris, there's a little more to it, but there are a few austerities along the way. Ramanya.
Well, it was a very nice lecture. This is like a lot of information about Varnashram. Prabhupada mentioned so many times throughout his books. And I think some devotees, I even print separate books about the Varnashram, because it's such a vast topic of seminars, you know, about the Varnashrama. And even Prabhupada mentioned the end, you know, if I can travel one more time around the world, I will show you how to finish in the establishing Varnashrama, how to establish it. And at the same time, you know, he emphasized the Maha Mantra, definitely, the chanting of rounds and following the rules and regulations and principles. And then at the same time, he teaches we are beyond that, the Vaishnava, like you mentioned in your lecture, the Vaishnavas are above Varnashrama. So it's like he says also, devotional service is absolute. Like if somebody cleans the temple room, it's the same like worshiping the deity. So this is inconceivable, you know. So, but point is, Prabhupada, at the same time, he's emphasizing Varnashrama and chanting the holy name and following rules and regulations. You know, it's not just about chanting. Everything is there, but at the same time, he was very careful, very strict how we follow, right? The four principles and rules and regulations in chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. And it's more inconceivable how Prabhupada, in the early days, you know, so many devotees became brahmanas, sannyasis, renouncers, you know, Varnashrama. Again, you know, he emphasized it. At the same time, he put the Vaishnavas above all these things, Westerners and Vaishnavas, you know, beyond the Varnashrama. That's very amazing and conceivable, the potency of Srila Prabhupada.
Yeah, I think you nicely describe the why sometimes it's difficult to understand these things. It seems like a simple concept, but as you pointed out, there's the two different aspects of it. You know, in one hand we embrace Varnashrama, on the other hand, you know, there's also the idea, well, it's not really quite the absolute. There's, you know, so, you know, they have to be reconciled. And I think Prabhupada once said something about intelligence is the ability to reconcile, you know, different things that are there. So you may have several concepts that they may seem somewhat different, but yet they're all true. And that's the nature of spiritual life, is that even contradictory statements or elements can all be reconciled within the understanding of Krishna consciousness. Sometimes it's difficult, but they can be. Okay, I think we had a Trivikram.
Hari Bo. Varnashram helps to structure society. And I guess because this process or this movement has to go on for like 10,000 years, it's been predicted, then in a structured society or a more organized society, then it's easy. Or it's easier to execute Krishna consciousness. And so I think that was the point Srila Prabhupada was making, you know, because in a Varnashram setting, it helps better. But of course, Krishna consciousness is not dependent upon Varnashram or totally dependent, but it helps so much more. You know, like students that go through the Gurukula system are much better than students that go through, you know, right. this regular school system, you see? So, but of course, I mean, we get all the other important points. You made some very good points.
Yeah, I think that's a nice way of looking at it. It's a structure. You know, I was just thinking, like in a temple, should a prophet set up, the temple would have a temple president, a vice president, a secretary, a treasurer. Do you have to have, if you don't have those officers, could you not have Krishna consciousness? Well, of course. Krishna consciousness could go on without that, but it's a structure. It's a structure that helped to organize the preaching, helped to organize, you know, so Varnashram is like that. And of course, it's given by Krishna. So, you know, it's not just an arbitrary structure, it's Krishna's structure, you know, that helps us to organize society. Yeah, why not?
I thought of two things. One is the Tatmavadis also gave that idea of being Varnashram being the goal. And but the point I was going to ask your question was, so it's external, and of course, Shukracharya, he gives us this the answer. And in one sense, it's always correct. You know, I remember sometimes I'd ask my kids when they were younger a question, and they would always have the correct answer. But it's not that they internalized that. That was just what you're supposed to say in a situation like that. So I was wondering if you could expand a little bit on, if this is external, then what was he looking for that's not external? What was the element that if Shukracharya could have said something that was internal? Because I wonder, I don't know the history of Shukracharya, but after this event, later on, do we see any change in Shukracharya, or is he's still the same personality, and here you are talking to Vishnu, so I'm going to say the right answer. You know, so it was very politically correct thing to say at that time.
Well, I was kind of given the benefit of a little change of heart.
Okay,
you know, I mean, you know, maybe I'm just...
saying this is a follow-up.
I just be a little sentimental for Shukracharya, maybe. But I mean, it does seem like, you know, I mean, as far as the external, he doesn't actually go into the Varnashram external so much. That's more in Prabhupada's purport. What Shukracharya just says is basically he's recognizing Vishnu is supreme. Vishnu is the enjoyer of all sacrifice, and it is proper to offer everything to Vishnu.
Well, he was kind of in the hot seat at this particular moment, wasn't he?
Well, yeah. I mean, his position was pretty much destroyed.
And there he is, so, I mean, he's...
Yeah, he could... Maybe he's been an opportunist, but...
intelligent, and he knows every... practically.
Yeah.
Every,
I really don't know. I didn't see any... Maybe somebody knows. I didn't see any real indication. Yes. He got free. Okay, so he was actually having spiritual realization here and change. Yeah, that's what I thought. It was indicating it. Yeah, that's something maybe we can look up. But that's a good point. I'm just saying at face value because there's no indication that he's being devious or deceitful here. He has some realization. Okay. All right, I'll go shoot Prabhupada.
In the corner, where you're Oh, really? Well, part of it is because of the